Thank you, Beth. Sir, you did make that very clear. Not a message. That was good. It's a joy to be able to share in this celebration with you this morning, this afternoon, and a demonstration of your support and commitment to the ministry that the Lord has called Steve and Kath to. The blessing to be part. This is a celebration of answered prayer, right? Steve and Kat have diligently sought the Lord's leading for the past years since they left the NIN, even before that. Many of us have earnestly prayed with them, and today we celebrate not only God's answer, but as we've heard, God's equipping of them for ministry. This is also an opportunity to recognize our continuing dependence upon the Lord. We are convinced that this is the Lord's leading, but we recognize that there are yet many pieces of the puzzle that the Lord Himself must bring to fruition. And we trust Him to do that. We recognize that spiritual fruit must be Spirit-produced. Human planning and effort devoid of the Spirit's work will never produce spiritual fruit. There is no man-made spiritual fruit, but only the Spirit's work is eternal. Over the past year or so, I found myself coming again and again to the book of Luke, and I want to just, it's not a message, just a challenge this morning. This afternoon from the book of Luke. But I found myself coming again and again back to the Gospel of Luke. And one of the main themes, and I like how the Spirit kind of weaves things together. You started with the Spirit's work and ended with the glory of Christ, and this kind of leads us in the same direction. But one of the main themes that Luke weaves through his book is the Spirit's leading of Jesus, the Spirit's influence in the ministry of Jesus. And tell you, I'd never really seen it before. And now that I'm reading the book with that perspective, it's amazing to me. But the idea of Jesus being led by the Spirit comes up often, especially at the beginning of the book. You know the Spirit's ministry in terms of Jesus' incarnation, his ministry in terms of his baptism, and then being led into the wilderness, and then he's led to Samaria, then he's led to his hometown, where he ministers in the synagogue in Judea. And Luke is just very intentional in pointing that out, the Spirit's ministry in the life of Jesus. Jesus, who is led by the Spirit and whose works are done through the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, ministers here in Luke 13, and I wanted to look at that this afternoon. He ministers to this woman with a disabling spirit. So let me read. You don't have your Bible. Let me read Luke 13:10-17. Now he was teaching, this is Jesus, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified. We see Jesus here teaching in the synagogue. And we're introduced immediately by Luke in this passage to this woman. There's a woman, there's Jesus, and then there's the response. But the woman, look at this woman. We're told that there's this woman. There's a woman. We don't know much about her, but we know that she's at the synagogue. She's at the place of worship on the day of worship. It's possible that she's there because Jesus is there, but Luke certainly doesn't emphasize that at all, if that's the case. It seems that she is there because that was her normal practice. As difficult as it was for her to get to the synagogue, she's bent over, has this disabling spirit for 18 years. As difficult as it is, she's there. She's infirmed. She's not well. She's unable to stand upright. Probably in pain, definitely. Her mobility is hindered. And she stood out as deformed. She had suffered, Luke tells us, for 18 years. This is not a congenital situation. She wasn't born this way, it doesn't seem, but the result, Luke tells us, of a disabling spirit. Here, Luke sets up Jesus, who is led by the Spirit, versus this spirit of Satan who is at work in this woman. So Luke tells us about this woman. Then we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He is teaching in the synagogue. This was often now in Christ's ministry, this was often the case for him on Saturday, on the Sabbath, he would be in the synagogue teaching. And he's there teaching, and of course this is what he was passionate about. And in the synagogue, you would stand and read the scripture, and then you would sit to teach. That was the posture of teaching. And Jesus is sitting and he's teaching. So that's what he's doing. And there's a crowd around him, probably people pushing in and a lot of people around him. But we're told that he saw her. There's a number of words. We're told that Jesus was teaching, that he saw her, that he called her, that he said to her, and that he laid hands on her. Jesus saw her. The way Luke writes it is almost like Jesus interrupts his teaching. He interrupts the order of service when he sees her. He saw her. Not only was her presence registered in his mind, but he empathized with her pain and shame. Luke tells us that he called her. Did he call her by name? I don't know. Luke doesn't tell us, but he called her. He drew her out of the crowd. He asked her to fix her eyes on him. Her attention on himself, as though it was just him and her in the room. Then Luke tells us that he said to her, and he said, "Woman, you are loosed, you are free." Then we're told that Jesus laid his hands on her. Is he still seated? Does she come over to him? Does Jesus get up at some point during this and go over to her and lay hands on her? We don't know. But Jesus, in a very personal way, I think he moved towards her. But he comes to her and he lays his hands on her. This is a very tender moment when he connects with her in a very personal and compassionate way. He didn't need to touch her to heal her, right? There's plenty of healings where Jesus simply said the word. But he touches her. He lays his hands on her to demonstrate his connection with her and to show his compassion, his love for her. As a daughter of Abraham. And this is how I see Steve and Kat's ministry. And this is how I see them even personally. I've worked with them for many, many years in Benin and other places. And one thing that I've been impressed with over and over again is their heart for people, their compassion for people. their heart for people to know Jesus. And that's what Jesus was after here, right? He wanted her to know himself and who he was and his love for her and the love of the Father for her. I've seen that over and over again in Kat and Steve. And I say to you, keep it up. And I know you will. I know you will. As you go to minister to Fulani people, people who are sort of outcasts, I know that compassion will come through in the Lord. Well, the fruit of the ministry here. So we see Jesus, and we see this woman, and the result we see here is she is made straight. Jesus lays his hands on her, and she is made straight. After 18 years, let's think about it just in that moment. What had to happen? When I was sitting there for however long it took Pastor to preach, right? And you get up like an old man, and it takes you a while to straighten up, right? Some of you with me? 18 years. What had to happen physiologically? And Dr. Steve could tell us about that. You know, for her to be able to straighten up and without any pain and agony like that. Amazing. It's incredible to think what Jesus did. She was made straight. And then we're told that she glorified God. She glorified God. And as far as their ministry, that's the goal, right? The beginning and the serving part comes through the power of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit through those gifts that we heard about. And the end goal is what? The end goal is this glorifying God. And she glorified God. So I'm so privileged and so thankful that both Steve and Kat have eyes to see hurting people and hearts to minister to those people for the glory of Christ. And I can testify to that, but that's who they are, that's what they've done, and with great enthusiasm, look forward to seeing how the Lord will do that. Looking forward to their reports about what Christ is doing and how he will be glorified. Christ promised us in Matthew 16 that he would do what? That he would build his church. He would build his church, and the very best that hell and Satan had to throw against the church would not prevent. But that his church would. And Steve and Kat are God's servants, and your servants, part of what Christ is doing in terms of building his church. And I'm eager to see in the years to come how the Lord will use medicine and their skills, their physical skills and abilities, as we've heard, but will use their heart for Christ and their eye for people who are hurting and their spiritual sense for those people, and their willingness to share the gospel with those people. Not just their willingness, their drive to do that. But God will use that for the advancement of his church in Berlin, especially among Fulani. What an exciting. And we have a role, and our main role, your main role as a church, is encourage, pray for them. We've heard that the enemy is real. Right? The gates of hell are real. The spiritual battle is real, just as it was in this day. But we have great encouragement as we pray, as we seek the Father. He will do the work that he's put in our hearts to seek. So I encourage you as a church, support them through prayer. Read their letters. Pray through their letters. Encourage them, maybe with individual notes. And praise the